Hello, listeners. PG here with a preview of our Patreon-exclusive bonus after show, which is a more conversational chat with our guests. We often cut a bit loose here, and it is a lot of fun. In this episode, David shares stories about his own pool hustling days and how to not be a jerk. We also talk about the inspiration behind the 49 boxes, the dilemma of using authentic, valuable props and experiences, and combining magic and puzzles. Here in this clip, Michael tells us the story behind one of his most prized possessions, an interactive Van Gogh head.
You remember the Van Gogh head?
Oh, I do.
The immersive Van Gogh head. And the interesting thing is, in my opinion, the guy that designed this weird interactive sculpture that I have is the guy that started me on the path of doing whatever it is that I do, which is kind of an interesting thing, that Jim Palace character.
Tell me more about that.
It was about thinking big. It was about creating something that moves people long after you die. And what they were famous for was a project called the Four Corners Project. If you remember what that Four Corners Project was, it was these guys created a glass globe that was representing the earth, and they painted perfectly one to one, or whatever the scale was, so that if they put a tetrahedron inside that sphere, they could rotate the tetrahedron and the sphere simultaneously and together and separately, so that they can find four simultaneous points on the earth where the points touched landmass, which is difficult because of all the water that we have on the earth. And they found four spots, and it's very rare when you find that combination. One of them was in Easter Island, Irian Jaya, Greenland Ice Sheet, etc. And then they flew to those locations and planted tiny pyramids in those locations, those exact GPS locations, in such a way so that the theoretical sides would meet each other on the other sides of the globe, creating a giant tetrahedron in the earth, building the biggest sculpture that man would ever make.
That's wild. I had not heard of that.
And they risked their lives to do that. And the lesson really, and this is the first lesson by them, was whatever you do, do it on a massive scale if you can. And don't necessarily do it for money. And if you want money as an artist, marry a psychiatrist. And that's what he did. And so at any rate, his partner, and I'm getting to the Van Gogh head, by the way. So his creative partner winds up dying. David Barr, who's fantastic. And if you go to Detroit, you're seeing his artwork everywhere. You just don't know it. Any of the big giant artwork that is, because it's Detroit Motor City, it's the big O, right? There's an awful lot of cyclical work that you're going to see there. And it's all David Barr. It's huge. Anyway, so I was writing at Boing Boing at the time, and I was lamenting his death and what he meant to me. And about a year and a half later, 2 years later, Jim Palace contacts me, and he's like, I just read your article. Who the heck are you? And I said, well, you don't remember who I am, but because he also looked up my name and the work that I've done. He's like, you're an artist, but I don't know who you are. And I said, well, it was because of you that all this happened. And so we met. I went to his new home because he retired. He lived in Oregon at the time with his psychiatrist wife, and she was retired too. And he lived and it's this beautiful place. And he was the last man standing of the Detroit art movement from that time period. And he had a lot of David's work and his own work. And he's in his 80s now. And we spent the day together, my wife, him, me, and his wife, and it was great. And we left each other in tears because of the stories that we shared. And we're like, we're probably never going to see each other again. And when I got home, I said, there's one particular interactive piece that you have that I find absolutely fascinating. And quick as you please, the guy had it crated and sent to my home, and that's where it lives right now. And I'm going to describe it. I'm going to answer your question now that you asked. You weren't wanting the backstory, but that was the backstory of how that happened.
Thank you for that. That's incredible.
And here's the piece. It's a pedestal, and on it is a sculpture of Van Gogh's head. And it's painted in such a way so that it looks like Van Gogh's style, but it's in the round, right? And when you look at it by a print of one of the Van Gogh self-portraits where he's looking at you with his one good ear, it looks astoundingly similar. But it's meant to be looked at when you first see it as an angle of attack from that angle. But if you look at it from the backside is completely void of dimension, but it's paved with money. This is a commentary on the value of art, who controls the value of art, specifically Sotheby's, that says, we're going to sell this piece over and over again, make more money than the artist made in his own lifetime on the piece. and keep making more and more money, and we're going to determine what that price is. Now, aside from all that, I mean, it's a nice concept. It's really nice, but there is a pile of pennies by the good ear of this Van Gogh sculpture. And if you take a penny and you put it in his ear, a penny for his thoughts, and you slide it in, it goes down a track, hits a trigger, and then you get one of hundreds of pontifications from artists throughout history saying meaningful things like, at the Feast of Ego, everyone goes away hungry. Or if someone ever asks you how long it took you to make that piece of art, you tell them your age. Beautiful things like that. Now, you're going to get either the soothing voice of the artist through history, and I'm still hearing new ones that I've never heard before, or you're going to get a computer-modulated voice of a Sotheby's gallery operator talking behind the scenes about how they're either bilking people for their money, or they're controlling the market, or people are buying these things just to get to the front of the line for some social gala they don't even understand. It is a beautiful commentary where the sculpture talks out of both sides of his mouth from two different perspectives on how art is important to the world for different reasons. It is so meaningful. And again, I have the shivers thinking about it. And as a sculpture that lives in my house that belongs at a museum one day, and it will be in a museum, I think, it's just a beautiful, endless thing to talk about. And that's the thing that you were just asking me to explain, and I just did.
Listen to the rest of the episode now by becoming a patron today at patreon.com/roomescapeartist and access our library of over 60 bonus aftershows.